Hello and thanks for downloading this special edition of the Glasgow is Green podcast. Now you may have seen that we were recently joined by ex-Celtic defender Mark Reaper, and we were lucky enough to be joined by another member of the team that stopped the 10 back in the 90s, a man who scored in the famous 2-0 win over St Johnston on the final day of that fateful season. It's Harold Brattback. Now he gave up some of his time while he was literally driving home for Christmas with his family, and he spoke to us about his time at Celtic, scoring against the hoops for Rosenborg, Ronnie Dyla and Kebabs.
Boyd's looking for a possible pass, waiting for the McNamara run. It's a good pass in for Harold Brattback. He's done it! Harold Brattback scores the goal, which may well give Celtic the title.
Right, well, first off, again, thank you for taking the time out to speak to us on the Glasgow's Green podcast, especially at this time. And basically, one of our listeners, the big question that we did get in was about that famous game in 1998 that you know of. Now, the game you scored against St Johnston at Monte Magic 1, he asked the question, was it more happiness or relief when you scored that goal?
I think it was a bit of a split feeling in the park at that time, because for me, as a player on the park that is able to do something with the result, I think it was more happiness. And knowing that we had good control of the game and we were leading 1-0 as well, I think that for the players and me specifically, it was more happiness. But for the what I can see from all the footage and all the videos in the stands from that day, I can see that for the supporters, it was more of a situation with a lot of relief, I think.
Yeah. Well, when we had Mark Reaper on as well, he was saying that the 1998 team that stopped to 10, there was such a good camaraderie and there was a great spirit in the squad. Would you agree with that? Was a very good feeling that when you joined that you were part of a really, really special team?
Definitely. What was very special with that team was that Wim had just arrived with the club. Unfortunately, he only stayed for 1 year. But as soon as he started his job creating a good team, he picked out players all the time from the beginning of the season. So I think I was one of the last players to come in for that squad that year. So I don't know how many players, but there was a lot of players coming in from August until December. So I think that the management and the coaches were both good and lucky with the mix of players that they got, because I think everyone fit in quite well. And I think also, even though we had players that didn't play as much as they wanted, I think they contributed to the good team spirit anyway. And for me, I didn't know that until quite a few years later, that Darren Jackson was one of the players that was hoping to get more time on the field. And when I came, I pushed him a bit away. But I have never seen Darren sad in the dressing room, and he was always a good spirit. So I think that's a good description of the situation that made us get to the end of the season and win the league title.
You also mentioned Darren Jackson was a good laugh in the dressing room. What was one of our listeners at Kevin MCG01? He asks, was Craig Burley, was he a big figure in the dressing room that season?
Craig was, he's a good lad, of course, and most of all, during training sessions and also during the games we played, I think he was more of a player that spoke with his feet. He was always with 100%, always 100% on the park and contributed in the dressing room. But he, I think, from my perspective, he was a good professional, but he could also relax and have a good time with the boys off the pitch. So I think that's a good combination. That those players are important in a squad.
Now, the following season, when Wim left, there was the Dr. Joe season. And unfortunately, we never won anything, but you were one of the people like Tony Warner. He got to play with Lubo and Larson, and so did you. What was your memories like of the team who won? What was your memories like of the team who played the following season? Although they didn't win anything, it was arguably some of the best football Celtic have played in that era.
Yes, I think as I said, I would obviously have liked to see Wim continue with the team and build on that. But as you say, it's the players we had in the squad was really good, and it's not difficult to see. From the following seasons for the team that you mentioned, that some of them stayed, like Henrik, he stayed for a long time. I also think that some of the players like Stillian left for Premier League, and also other good players for other clubs. But yes, I would say that the squad that we had for the following season was one of the best squads I think Celtic has ever seen.
Fully agree. Now, one of our listeners, at Mark1981, now, he asks, why did you not take the penalty to score your hat-trick, which would have made it 3-0 in that game?
Well, at that time, we had decided before the game who was going to take a penalty if we got one. I was obviously very eager to take that penalty, but I was more than happy to leave the penalty with Bent, who's the name of the player. Fortunately, he didn't score. And in hindsight, it's easy to see that I could have been an even bigger hero for the Rosenborg, but as I said, in hindsight, it's no problem. It's always easy to see afterwards, but that was decided beforehand.
All right, I'm glad you didn't anyway. That would have been too much to handle. Now, when you moved to Glasgow, did you find it was a big culture change from your time in Norway with Rosenborg at that time? What was the big differences?
Big differences. That's a good question. I think the dressing room was very much the same. I think that the professionality was maybe a notch better in Celtic, but that's maybe also due to the reason that we had a lot of players that have been playing in big clubs on the continent, and we had also players from, we had Paul Lambert with experience from Bundesliga, we had Craig that came from Chelsea. So in that respect, I think maybe was a little bit in front compared to Rosenborg. But what I experienced, as you said earlier, about the camaraderie in the dressing room amongst the boys, I think that's something that was really showing as well in Rosenborg. So that's one of the reasons why Rosenborg did so well for so many years as well.
Okay. Now, at PJ Green and White, this is a Glasgow-related question, a bit bizarre, but he asks, when you were in Glasgow, did you ever try a kebab?
Actually, no. I didn't. I've been back a few times to play for Celtic, but no, I haven't done yet. But I'll promise him I'll test one next time I get to Glasgow.
Okay. Right. Moving away from football, Harold, you're obviously a pilot now. Now, at Coach Crumbs, who is part of another podcast at Celtic called 20 Minute Tims, he asks, did you ever think about working in football when you retired, or was it always your ambition to be a pilot?
It was, when I was playing, I didn't think too much about the future. I tried to focus on the present, because I think know that thinking about the present is what makes the results best. But when I was starting to come to the end of my career, I was looking into different options, and one of the options was definitely to stay in football and get UEFA licenses as well. But when I was hanging up my boots, I was very clear of the situation, and I knew that if I was going to try something totally different, I had to do it immediately. So I hung up my boots in March 2006, and I had already started my pilot license at that time. So I moved to the US in 2007 and came back to Norway again in 2008 and got my first job as a pilot in the fall of 2008. So as I said, I wanted to try something different, but now I feel that I always miss football, and I think now I miss it more than before. So I might get into football at some stage in the future. Where and in what kind of job, I don't know, but I still miss miss the bus about games, so we'll see in the future.
Okay, what's the biggest thing you miss about football? Is it the pre-game nerves, or is it just the feeling of scoring a goal? Or what's the biggest thing that you miss?
I would say, in general, I would say that I miss everyday banter with the boys in the dressing room and going to the training sessions and get a good piece of work out of it. But specifically, the games, especially the big games, I've been very lucky to have been playing a lot of big games, both in Norway and with Celtic and also in Copenhagen. That's obviously something that all players look forward to. But in that respect, I couldn't have been more lucky than to get to Glasgow and be able to take part in the Old Firm games. Because, I've been speaking to people that have been to derbies that they think are big derbies. And I've told them to even only watch the Old Firm on the telly. But I also have spoken to people that had been to different derbies and then they go to Glasgow for the Old Firm. And they all say that going to Glasgow and being a part of the Old Firm is just out of this world.
Moving on to the Old Firm, I was actually reading an article. You were talking about Celtic and Rangers games. And apparently, you gave Richard Goff, the Rangers captain, two black eyes. Talk us through that one.
Well, that was kind of funny because this was on, I think it was on 1st or 2nd of January. I think it was the 2nd of January in 98, actually. It was my first game in the start lineup when I came to Celtic. And it was the Old Firm at Celtic Park. And Paul and Craig scored the two goals of the victory. And, celebrating the 2-0 victory over Glasgow Rangers was really brilliant that night. But going through the newspapers the next day was a bit of funny because then you could see it was really a mugshot of Richard Goff, and he had two black eyes. And it was kind of funny that it was accountant from Norway that gave him those two black eyes.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. When you played in those games as well, who was your toughest opponent? Who was the hardest defender you came up against in those matches?
I would actually say Andy Gorham, because he always played well, good games, and he was a tough guy to pass as well. So he was obviously the last hurdle to pass to get the goals, but he was good. Obviously many others as well, but he was one of those really good old Rangers players that played well in the derbies and the Old Firms. So if I had to mention one, I could mention him.
Yeah, well, I think he saved his best games against us, ruined my childhood. But thankfully, they don't have anyone like him now.
Okay.
Moving on, I've just got a couple of questions left, and then we can let you head off, so thank you. But one is from James, who runs the Glasgow's Green account with me. He asked, regarding Ronnie Dyla, were you surprised when he got the job?
I was a little bit surprised that he was appointed manager or something, but he had done a good job in Norway, and I think he deserved a chance. He didn't quite live up to the expectations, either by himself or by the supporters or the club itself, but that's the way it gets at Celtic. You will always be measured with the very best, and that's a tough job. But unfortunately, he didn't get out of the team that everyone wanted. And he did well in the league, but that's going to be the case. And that's my experience with Rosenborg as well. The only thing that counts is getting to European football. And he didn't do that. So I'm just hoping that the coming managers of Celtic can do something about that. But it's all about money as well. You're not able to buy all the players you want. But I think Gary Ronnie got a good chance at Celtic, and I just hope that he does well. And I wouldn't rule out anything, but maybe we see another Norwegian manager in Celtic in the future. I don't know. Or Scandinavia. It's possible, but it's a tough job. And I think to be able to perform as a manager for Celtic, I think it's many times good to know the history and also know a little bit more about the club. So I think the likes of Martin O'Neill and Neilan, they were maybe able to do more with the club because they knew so much about the history. But let's hope that Ronnie does as well as a manager in Norway again.
No, I agree. And I think a lot of Celtic fans still wish him well. He's still delivered. So ultimately, it didn't work out, but he still helped us towards the inevitable 10 in a row, we hope. So, yeah, we are pretty thankful for that. Now, the last question we've got, Harold, is, again, a very bizarre one, and I can only apologise for this, but at Stephen Cavani, he's asked us specifically, do you have a favourite Janet Jackson song?
No, I must disappoint him.
it's fine, don't worry, I don't either.
I do not have a favourite Janet Jackson song. I do like a lot of music, and Blue Moon, I listen to Janet Jackson as well, but she wouldn't be on the top of my list, no, unfortunately.
Mine either, but thanks for answering that question that was sent in to us. And that's pretty much all the questions. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're already in the car with the family. So on behalf of the Glasgow's Green podcast, Harold, have an excellent Christmas and a great new year. And thanks for taking the time out to speak to us.
No problem. I always like to contribute to the Celtic history and being part of the Celtic environment. Also today, it's 27. How many years is it? 27 years old?
No. Since 18 years.
18.
I can tell you're the accountant. 18. You're far better with numbers than me, Harold.
Yeah, it's a long time since I was playing for Celtic, but Celtic will still and always be a part of my heart. My greetings to all the Celtic supporters and have a Merry Green Christmas.
Fantastic. Same back to you, Harold.
Thanks once again for downloading this very special edition of the Glasgow is Green podcast, and a huge thanks to our guest Harold Bratback for giving up some of his time to speak to Stevie. You can follow us on Twitter at GigPod to find out the latest from the Glasgow is Green podcast and when we'll be back. But until then, hail.